Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle M. Pillow and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello, everyone.
And today is May 28th, 2008.
Yes.
And our first night show.
Yes. And believe it or not, normally I'm an insomniac, but as of late I've been going through this funky normal person sleeping spell, so I was like all tired an hour ago thinking, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep.
Don't leave Michelle alone with the controls. Don't leave Michelle.
We actually have Jacqueline Frank, who's like on our standby in case we ever need to fill in, but it would be pretty bad if Michelle had to call her and be like, I think Mandy fell asleep on her desk. Could you maybe... Oh, my gosh.
Well, we do want to welcome you all to our new nighttime schedule. We're very excited about this. We were getting complaints from a few listeners who couldn't listen to us because they had to work. Like, you really have to have a job.
A pesky thing, yeah. Like, yeah, just tell your boss, hey, I'm listening to the M&Ms for crying out loud.
So we've got a few announcements real quick before we get started with today's show. Oh, I should announce that... Rianna Samuels is going to be our guest author today, talking about her new book from Samhain. We're very excited to have her on.
Yes.
And I would like to send a quick thank you to everybody who's entered our viral blogging contest. Tons of entries on both the MySpace and the Raven main blog, where people are helping us spread the word about Raven's new schedule. And if you would like to enter that contest, just go to ravenhappyhour.com/ravenblog. And it's the May 22nd entry, and you'll be able to see how to enter. It's real fast, real easy, and we really appreciate you helping us spread the word.
Yes.
Did I get it all?
I think so. So did anything exciting happen to you this last week?
Not that I can remember.
Nothing newsworthy.
You know, I was all jazzed for the night show.
Yeah.
And then I think, like you, it's so hot, and I just wore myself out, and now I'm like, no, really, I have nothing.
I got nothing. I went car
shopping.
Did
something happen to me?
yeah, I went car shopping and got, you know, different cars now, which was exciting, and I do realize that there are people who are smart enough to work the sync program in cars, and then there's me. Yeah, my car doesn't listen to me, never understands a thing I say. It thinks I say, you know, I say ACDC, it says ACTUC. I don't know, I give up. So apparently I need to take a refresher course or something. I don't speak computer. It does not I've named it a few affectionate names, none of which I can relate to you now because we're E for everybody. But
yeah, why did we go E for everybody anyway?
To keep me from
begging for trouble.
Spending 58 of the 60 minutes cussing.
I have to put a censorship thing across my computer screen. Well, we are very excited about today's show. Listeners, you can call in today and ask questions to us or our guest author. The call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges do apply.
Mm-hmm.
Or for more information on using your computer to chat live with us during a broadcast, please visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio.
Yes.
Or you can email your questions directly to us at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy will be occasionally checking those mailboxes as time permits. We do have a lot of reader questions for the guest author lined up, so we will do our best to get to those, but you're always welcome to email if you have questions or comments for future shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, okay, there's got to be at least something that happened to you this week. There was nothing?
You're saying that like you know something happened to me this week.
No, I'm thinking you should spread the word that, you know, some puppies may be going out the door.
Oh yeah, like I want to depress everybody with these poor little sad puppies leaving.
Are you kidding? They're going to be like me. She had 185, two are leaving. Wow.
I know, you kept saying that like I had something. I'm going, what did I have happen this week?
Oh, come on. We have so many animal lovers that listen to the show. They're constantly emailing off of it to talk to us about it. I figure you at least ought to keep them updated on the puppies.
Yeah, the English Bulldog puppies, I've got one sold and one maybe sold. So
yeah,
somebody's coming Friday to pick the first one up. So it's going to be a little sad. You know, it'll be less work for me, which is always good, but... It's always kind of sad when the puppies go.
Huh.
Did I mention being attacked by a swarm of kitties? We have a bunch of kitties who adopted us, and apparently they've been spreading the word around the neighborhood because it's been reported that more kittens have shown up, like, by our back alley.
Oh, you're sprinkling some sort of thing outside the house? Come on, come on, you strays. Yeah.
It's like, hey, she's a sucker. Let's go to her house.
Yeah, you know what? I want to do that with, like, you know, ghosts and that to get a little action going around. I say that now until I get that really mean-spirited one, then I'm going to be like,
I'm going to buy you a ghost.
Oh, in a bottle.
Ghost in a bottle.
We're giving away our end-of-the-show things now by doing it, yeah, but ghost in a bottle.
We're going to be talking about what a ghost in a bottle is at the end of the show.
Yeah, and apparently you can buy these, interestingly enough.
Yeah. I'm not so sure about this one. I'm going to have to buy one. But you know what? I'd be too scared to open it just in case.
I have one here in a lipstick case for you for free. Just for you, my friend.
Ghost in a popcorn tin.
Oh, my gosh. The things people do. It's a step up from the pet rock craze, I guess. I don't know.
I had a pet rock.
You know what? I'm not even going to apologize for the comment because... Dear God, it's a pet rock. I refuse to apologize.
Actually, I got it in Colorado on vacation. It was called a rock concert. So it was like a big rock with a bunch of little colored rocks glued on top of it with like eyes painted on them. So it looked like a big gathering of pet rocks.
People, she just justified her pet rock to me. She did. And then they had spandex and they had mics and it was like Steven Tyler and there was giant lips painted on the one and they were rocking out like loving
sweetie, that was your childhood.
That was, yeah, not my pet rock collection, though, unfortunately. I guess maybe I feel jaded I didn't get one. Anyone out there want to send me a pet rock? I'm more than open to the idea. All right, yes, yeah, so we're expecting Rhianna Samuels to call in today, who is an author at Sam Hain, and she has a book out, which is, okay, Shaking Off the Dust, which is a paranormal romance, romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. Super excited about this.
And I know we talked to her earlier. I'm not exactly, she's probably going to be calling in here in a few minutes, so you're just going to have to listen to us.
Yes.
You know what I noticed about the cats, though, like kittens and stuff being in the yard?
Mm-hmm.
It's, okay, not only did they attract, like, other cats, but they're now attracting, like, neighborhood kids. And I actually went outside yesterday and found a bunch of neighborhood kids in my garage because the cats went in there, I don't know, either to hide or take up residence. So, yeah, now I'm, like, attracting neighborhood children.
So, like, Michelle's B&B for, you know,
I have no
kids
idea. I don't even, I've never seen these kids before.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we had that many in the neighborhood.
Yeah, see, you need, like, crazy stuff. I just, like, keep off my lawn. It will eat you.
Yes, I'm going to start wearing skull necklaces. But you know what? Then I'll just be cool, so.
Yeah, put up little wanted posters like child last seen in Michelle's garage.
Great.
You know, maybe I'm just that kind of person. I don't know.
I think I'm too nice. I'm the type of... Oh, that must be Rhianna calling in.
Hi, welcome to Raven Radio.
It's really great to be here. I'm so pleased that I have this opportunity to talk with you guys.
Now, real quick, for anyone who may not have heard of you yet or anything like that, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, my name is Rhianna Samuels, and I write, I have a book out. It's called Shaking Off the Dust, and it's out with Sam Hain, also Salwyn is the other name for that. And
Ray, real quick, can I stop you? If you have your computer on.
Yeah, I'm turning it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's starting to drown you out a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had actually gone to the computer to turn it off when I realized what was going on.
Don't worry, it happens all the time. I do it. Mandy yells at me.
Well, you know, I was listening to your conversation at the beginning there, and
right.
And before I came on, I didn't take that opportunity to turn it off. So I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. Don't worry about
it. Oh, no. Like I said, it happens all the time. That's how we know what that background noise is, because we used to think we got feedback when we first started playing with the system.
All right. So I'm going to pop in here. Now, Shaking Off the Dust. And this came out when?
It came out January 1st in ebook format, and then it comes out in print November 25th.
Okay. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Well, Shaking Off the Dust is a, I call it a paranormal romantic suspense, and it is the story of an ER nurse through circumstances who becomes haunted by a dead sort of cranky neurosurgeon that she once worked with who was killed in a terrorist bombing. And through him, she meets up with his best friend, who is a neurologist, so it's kind of a medical background on these guys, although they get thrown into a completely different situation. And he thinks he must know something about those terrorists or he wouldn't be hanging around, and convinces them to help him try to figure things out. And from there, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of fun, a lot of adventure, and the story unfolds.
Okay, now I want to know personally, how long have you been writing in that?
In paranormal?
Yes, a period, just writing at all.
This is the first book I've had published, but it's about the sixth book that I've written.
Mm-hmm.
The first three were science fiction, and, you know, I pretty much made any kind of rookie mistake that you can make on that and learn. And like any craft or any field that you go into, the longer you do it, the better you get at it. You know, I would love to say to you that, you know, the minute I got out of school, I sat down and could write brilliantly. And not that I'm saying I can write brilliantly right now, because I'm not up for a Pulitzer or anything. it took a while, and part of that is because, you know, I waited like 20 years of nursing before I tried my hand at it.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? Hey, admirable. I couldn't do it. I have an aversion to touching people, pretty much. So.
Oh, I couldn't be a nurse. You know, it sounded like a good career until they were talking about how in school you had to practice giving shots on each other. And I wouldn't have made it past that.
No, when I was in school, they didn't do that. But I've been nursing for over 20 years, so, you know, it may be what they're doing now, but I suspect that that's not the case in all the schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we have had some reader questions come in that, and I want to go ahead and start getting to these because there's quite a few questions, and I'm hoping to get to as many as we can in the show.
Okay.
One is, how did you come up with the concept that your ghost could have free choice in staying earthbound or not?
Well, I have a sister, and her name is Michelle also, and she's a very good friend of mine, but she's also one of these Mensa-type people who is very bright. And the concept of this story happened, it was one of those moments where a light goes off. We were working on a trauma, and one of our patients went off to surgery, and the surgeon that was on that patient was quite arrogant and pretty substantially rude to all of us. And, of course, that day at lunch, we were having a discussion about who were probably the most obnoxious surgeons. And it got down to orthopedic surgeons or neurosurgeons. And in that particular day, the neurosurgeons won. We were just chatting, and I think I said something to the effect of, wouldn't it be horrible to have somebody like that following you around all the time and you just can't get away from them? And that was sort of the spark for the idea of this. So when I started the idea of it being a ghost, there had to be a mythology for the ghost. There had to be rules to the ghost in order for them to function within the mythology of this book. And it is a contemporary story. And my sister helped me with this because they die and yet they are staying on Earth. And I didn't like the idea that you were stuck here if you had unsolved problems. I preferred the idea that it's always free choice, and they make the choice of staying here. Mm-hmm. And that each day in this mythology, each day when the sun comes up, a light shines for them, and they make the choice every single day whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go.
You know, that's kind of an interesting approach. So they can, you know, they don't have that final ultimatum, like, do I go into the light now or I'm forever screwed, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
They have many things to pick. You know, so that's kind of an interesting take on it. Now, also, let's see, another question we're going to get to here. I'm trying to go in order. You'll have to excuse me while I fumble with my
questions?
Notes. Yes.
The next one was, Asian heroes are not common in romance, so what inspired you to have an Asian American as a hero?
Thank you, darling.
Well, the best friend, the neurologist, is Takeshi Shimoto, and he is an Asian character. And I've been in love with Asian films for most all of my adult life. Big John Woo fan back in the very beginning, and I don't know. I just felt like for the female character, I wanted to balance her with somebody who was completely different and a little more zen-like, but has his own kind of issues going on when they meet, and see something in her that other people, you know, may or may not see.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a film actor, an Asian film actor, who I was just crazy about, and still am, Takeshi Kitano. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Hero?
He was
in
you know,
Flying Daggers?
He was in House of Flying Daggers.
Yes. Oh, he's such a hottie.
He is. He's just gorgeous. He's just gorgeous. And I think the first thing I saw him in was in 2001, it was the number one film in Japan called The Returner. And it's kind of a time travel science fiction. And I just really fell in love with him at that point. And so the entire time I was writing this book, I had his picture up. And I feel like in the feedback I've gotten from some Japanese-American people have been that they really felt like the character mirrored an Asian male in a lot of ways, and that he's very intense about pursuing what he wants, but he's very methodical and a little zen-like and ritualistic in how he does things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was real pleased with that kind of reaction to it. And, you know, I think of his character as just as beautiful as the actor that I had in mind when I was writing it. Because I noticed last week you were talking, I don't know if it was last week, but I was listening to one of your older radio shows, and you were talking about how you picture different actors as you're writing books.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, he was the person I pictured during that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were going to make a movie of your book, Shaking Off the Dust, is that who you would have as one of the lead roles? Or
Yes. Now, you know, I would love to say, you know, have Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, but in fact, these characters... For Tom is this sort of cranky, arrogant neurosurgeon who dies, and when their relationship begins, Hannah, the female lead, and him, they're sort of at loggerheads in that she's always known him to just be impatient and arrogant and rude. And so when he comes to her as a ghost, that's her standard for him, and that's how she treats him, in that she doesn't want to really be around him, and she would never really liked him, and so they have to build a relationship from the very beginning in order to work together.
Mm-hmm.
It's no easy.
Who would you like to direct the movie if you're going to do that?
Well,
it's
I want to say John Woo, because I like the whole aspect of somebody who understands the Asian influence.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it's really a very American story, with an Asian American hero that I think is quite unusual and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you think of like the terrorist plot as a backdrop and the suspense part of the story?
Well, it was very timely. And I don't know. You know, it was one of those sort of sparks as I was thinking about now, you know, why would this neurosurgeon come to her, and what would be something really unusual that would force her to want to participate with whatever was going on, and not the usual I need to go tell somebody something type thing, but there'd be a real reason. And in this case, he was coming home from a medical convention in Madrid, and the plane is bombed right after it takes off. And so once the story progresses, they end up in Spain, in a large portion, really the second half, or more than the second half of the book takes place in Spain. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a more international flavor for it and just a more exciting, adventurous plot, but something very timely.
Now, your research for everything, I mean, how do you go about it? Do you, you know, a lot of the internet, a lot of trips to the library, a lot of, like, trips yourself? You know, I love those deductions when you, yes, I showed up in Spain, IRS, let me take that as a deduction.
Well, and you know, and for most people, like in this story, you know, before they ever get to Spain, it's a whole series of things that they go through because, you know, it's the whole idea of who do we go to with this information and who's going to believe us and how do you do that? So, you know, their first thought is that they have to prove that she got this information from a ghost and that she has some sort of abilities as a medium or a psychic or something, and then present it in that way. And when they do, you know, contact a friend in the FBI, the next thing you know, they're under interrogation and they're being suspected because they have information about what happened, you know, there at the airport that is in more detail than they should have.
Right.
So, you know, they go through a lot just to get to the point to reach Spain. And a lot of it is, a lot of it was based on my own, you know, imagination, but also the idea that, you know, they're not going through, that, you know, they're going to a hotel in Spain and they're meeting with people. And I also had a niece that made a European trip, and as she went, when she came back through the Spain airport, the Madrid airport, she described it for me and did pictures and, you know, gave me the kind of information I needed in order to set certain aspects of it at the airport and just online, basically online research.
I would like my family to take a moment to have some guilt for not doing that for me when they go places, okay? Seriously. Is it that hard, people? Seriously.
You know, I think my family just needs to send me places.
There we go.
Wait, and
I
you know,
agree with that.
And it's funny because I guess I'm one of those people that have no hesitation asking people things, but I have I went and my sister has this great hairdresser that she goes to, and so she told me about her for weeks and weeks, and I finally went to her, and she's a little gal from southern Louisiana, and she said she was going home this next week for her son's wedding, and I asked her if she would bring back a phone book for me because I have the worst trouble when I'm trying to name characters is coming up with the last names.
Oh, goodness.
You know,
wouldn't
and
you feel bad if she was arrested for, like, stealing a phone book from a motel while she was gone?
Well, you
that's
know, the first thing
to
she
me,
said.
That kind of stuff.
The first thing she does is she pops open her cell phone and she leaves herself and her husband a message about, okay, we need to bring this home when we come back. But to me, you know, I find information that way. It's really hard to come up with last names, I think. I think it's hard to come up with character names anyway.
Oh,
I always want to go with old-fashioned names. And you know, when you write a adventure, they want you to have very heroic names. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a fan of things like Beatrice and, you know, plain Jane type characters. So
yes, and they won't let me use Buck Rogers. Seriously, I mean, come on.
Oh,
what
that's
says
so
hero?
Unfair.
Oh, like a buck. Okay, now for anyone wanting to call in and join in with this and add anything.
I love how you cut me off because you knew I was coming back with something.
I knew it.
Ran
I knew
right
it.
Into it.
I was feeling ya. It's 646-595-3998. 646-595-3998. If you want to chat live with us, you can go to ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts, and you will find your way to Blog Talk Radio. And we're chatting right now with Rhianna Samuels, author of Shaking Off the Dust. I always want to say Shaking the Dust Off. I want to screw it up for you, and I'm so sorry for that. I keep wanting to change it around. That's the third time I've done that. Twice was in private conversation with Michelle.
That's fine, you know.
Sorry about that.
As long as you get my name right, I'm okay for right now.
I'll get this darn book title out. So, yeah, okay. Well, now we were talking about naming the heroes and everything else and running out of things. And now I will tell you a little secret that I have got characters that I've accidentally named the same thing. They were secondary. And they're not the same. They're not appearing in the same book series together. They're different characters completely. Same name.
Is that right?
Same name. I had some readers email me about it and pointed out to me. I was like, oh, thanks. Sorry.
Yeah, I had this phase where I was going through a lot of Victors.
Yes.
So, yeah, Mandy makes fun of me now.
Yeah.
Every time I'm trying to name a character.
Do you ever find
Victor.
Yourself, Rihanna, like leaning towards one name like that? Do you have like a Victor?
Well, I do. And every time you say Victor, there was this wonder, and I wish I could think of the name of the movie, but it was a Canadian movie, and it was about an Indian reservation, and the main character's name was Victor, and they had that Canadian accent, and they kept going, Victor. Victor, and every time you say that, that like flashes into my memory. But I like that name a lot. Yeah, there are certain characters I like. I like Clay. I like Samuel. There are certain names that I really like, and it's all because it relates to family and to people. And I'll throw in names of family members or stuff, or change it just a little bit. And as a tribute to family. So, yeah, I'm kind of that way.
Now, how do they feel about, do they know that you do that and you kind of like pay tribute to them in that, or?
I think so. You know, the first few books I wrote, the science fiction, I used, you know, every nephew and niece I had, I used their names. And then it was like my sister and brothers and sisters couldn't read the book because, you know, these were people having sexual relations and they had their kids' names. So they made me go back and change the name. So, you know, it was pretty funny, actually.
Awesome. Michelle, you're up. Next question.
Actually, we have some more reader questions.
Okay.
Hannah is a nurse who is your heroine in the book for the listeners, who has a wry sense of humor and is Johnny on the spot whenever something goes wrong. You are a nurse as well. Was Hannah based off you and your experiences or some person you know or a mix of people you know, or is she someone you just made up? And you kind of already touched upon some of that. But since
I think a lot of our books are autobiographical. We'll put in things that quirks and things about ourselves. Because we're so familiar with it, and it's easy for us to express it and write about it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I gave her is that I had some ear surgery about 4 or 5 years ago, and a month after my surgery, I went deaf in that ear. And so in the book, she's deaf in the one ear, and it's a relatively new experience for her. And so she's still getting used to that. You know, you forget sometimes that you are. You know, I lost hearing in my right ear, and so people yell out to me, no matter where they are, I always turn to my left because that's the only ear I hear out of. And, you know, for months and months, people would laugh at me because I would make a complete circle looking for whoever was calling my name. And it is funny, you know, and I thought it was funny myself. You know, I just wasn't used to it. So there were little things like that that are things that go on with me that I put into that character because it was easy for me to talk about it and express it in an easy way. And also, you know, after years of it, I had come up with every kind of one-liner that you can about being deaf in one ear and wanted to use those.
I don't
mean
to giggle, but it made me think of a line with Hannah and her girlfriend in the beginning with the girl's talking into her left ear, and she's like, she finally got it right. Wait, that's my left ear, I mean.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I started thinking of your one-line jabs at it, and I couldn't help but laugh.
And one of the things I love to say to people is, you know, they'll be talking to me, and they'll say, are you listening? And I'm like, well, I'm only half listening anyway, so... You know, and so different things like that you get to throw in that are kind of fun. She's based on a lot of characters, but she's really just based on the what it's like to be an ER nurse and how your sense of humor is the only thing that gets you through some days. And it may be a black, sort of dark sense of humor sometimes, but you bear witness to so much tragedy in an ER experience that... that's how you build up your defenses, and that's your first instinct to use usually. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was one of the big things that was brought to that character, just that experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a fairly common thing with nurses. I have a huge family of nurses, and when they work I have some who work, you know, just in the emergency rooms or ICUs, and they all seem to kind of say that exact same thing. So, I mean, I find it very interesting. just kind of that dark sense of humor that you were talking
about.
Well,
it's dark, and I think for the most part it's a very self-depreciating kind of humor, too. And it gets you through emotional situations, and other people sometimes can kind of feel, maybe insulted or askance at what we'll say sometimes, but that's a self-defense kind of humor, I think, that you build.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I've got to ask this, okay, because seriously, the tattooing of the ashes, of like the ghost ashes, I got to know. I mean,
okay,
did this come from, and elaborate more on this.
Okay, well, I told you that there's a whole different mythology for my ghost in this book. And it really made sense to me, you know, once I made the rules, then I stuck by the rules. And the rule is in the very beginning of the book, she's at the memorial service for this guy. And this is after, you know, the big tarot, and he comes home, and he's an organ harvest person. And then in his will, that he wanted to be cremated after major organs were taken, and his ashes be spread near on a piece of land that he had. And so she's at this memorial service because a couple of years before this happened, she was in a car accident, and he saved her life. And so they felt like it would be a big tribute to him if one of his patients handed over his urn to one of his partners in the neurosurgery partnership to spread the ashes. And a storm's coming up, and, of course, as he's throwing the ashes, wind picks up this ashes and just turns it right into her face. And her mouth is wide open, and she ends up inhaling his ashes, and it's up her nose and in her lungs. And then it starts to storm, and lightning hits a tree near her and kind of sparks off and knocks her on her fanny. And when she wakes up, she can see this ghost. So the concept of the book, the idea of the book, is that a ghost can only be where there's a piece of him. So he can be in his home because skin cells and hair and all of that can be in the carpet and in the bathrooms and all over the place, or in brushes and combs. And so you can inhabit, you can be there because there's a piece of you there, but you can only be where there's a piece of you there. So, you know, you may be in your office, and with this guy, he can be with these other patients that got his transplanted, and he can be at the plane crash site, and when they move the plane from that site into a hangar, you know, there's his blood and there, so he can be in all these different places at once. I'm sorry, a lot of umming here. Let me stop myself. I wrote a note about what I shouldn't say, and was one of them.
The whole time you're talking about the inhaling, and that I started thinking of Keith Richards and the whole, like, the whispers of him snorting his father's ashes.
Well, you know, I can remember when I was younger how a friend of mine said that when he died that he wanted to be cremated and his ashes put in a marijuana and everybody have a good smoke on him. And I used to think, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, I want to smoke your ashes, buddy. So anyway, so she can see him the entire time that because she's got all his ashes in him. And then she has a sneezing and coughing fit, and she can't see him. And at that point, you know, it's not a good time for her not to see him. And so they take these ashes that were all over her clothes and mud, had, you know, and they put it in, and they do a semi-permanent tattoo with the ashes in the ink in order to keep it on her at all times so that she can see him. She can only see and hear him when it's actually on her person. So that's how the tattoo and the ashes all come about.
That's just cool.
Definitely unique.
Hello,
Tammy. It's very different.
I have Dead Man. Can you put it on me? Thanks. Yeah, I'd simplify it to that, wouldn't I?
Well, you know, it's much better than that episode of, what was it, Nip Tuck, where she wanted the ashes put into the implants.
Oh, stop.
Am I the only one who watched that?
You must be. I didn't see that one.
Oh, my God.
I just grabbed my chest in a reflex motion going, ah.
Well, I thought it was much better than that. Yeah, I watched that entire episode clutching myself going, uh-uh.
Trust Michelle to take it to a silicone area. Great.
That's it.
I'm sure
see,
that would
you brought it all back to an erotica area, didn't you?
Yeah. Totally void the warranty on them. Okay. Now, what are you working on right now?
Well, I'm working on several different things. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a sequel, and it's getting interesting for me. I have a historical that I've been working on a while, and a paranormal series. And right now I'm hoping to finish up the novella of it, and then it will go into the Aura Painter, and there's like three other books with it that I have going. And the trouble is that I started writing down ideas, and I know you guys do this, where you've got 20 notebooks with different stories, you know, the first few pages of different stories or the first three or four chapters. And that's where I am with quite a few stories, and it's very difficult for me right now because everybody wants, you know, every character wants me to write about them right now. And I keep going from notebook to notebook. So, you know, that focusing down to one story has been a Herculean job to make myself do that.
Right.
Now, we do have an interesting reader question here. Basically, they want to know, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, is do you feel that your ghosts have the ability to grow as beings, even though they're dead? And do you feel your ghosts, in general, were about to change those who were living by interacting with them, opening them up to becoming better humans?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think...
That's my paraphrase.
Yeah, it does. It does. In the book, the character of Tom goes through a lot of changes. And so, you know, the three main characters, and the secondary characters, a lot of the secondary characters go through a lot of changes because of Tom and relating to him and to each other. Yeah, I think that really believe that we are on a journey, and when we die, we continue on that journey. It's just a different existence, but we continue with our journey wherever that leads us. And I guess we really don't know where that leads us. It may be heaven, or it may, you know, there's every kind of religion that tells you what the afterlife is going to be about, and nobody really knows. Nobody's really come back who's been there and spent some time there and come back.
Now, before we put you into the paranormal hot seat...
Wait a minute. I would like to say I know where I'm going after I die. It's to every reviewer who's ever giving me a really, really bad review. I'm going to stand behind them, and I'm going to keep making their computer crash. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to go haunt Michelle.
Okay, that's good. That's you're going to clean, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I won't be able to help that. I'm sure I can't take my OCD habits with me to the other side.
That's the only reason I want you here.
Well, you know, every time I have a paranormal discussion with my friends, I'll say to them that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and help you out, and when I die, I'm going to haunt you just to prove that, you know, ghosts exist.
Right.
And they don't look forward to that. I don't get that.
Yeah, I just want her to come clean and maybe cook, do some laundry. Mandy suddenly has this will to live.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, I'm 200 years old. I'm not going anywhere. Well, I wanted to give the listener call-in number. Listeners, feel free to call in at any time. You're not going to be interrupting us. And if for some reason the system does hang up on you, which it has a tendency to do on Blog Talk Radio, just keep calling back. We promise to get you through. Or you're welcome to put your questions into the chat room, and we'll read them live for you. But that listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges could apply. All right, carry on. Paranormal hot seat. Mandy keeps promising she's going to get a recording of that for me, but she never does.
I am. Yeah, we so
I'm
going
to remind you every week until you do it, until the readers start yelling at you to shut me up.
Okay, now, paranormal hot seat. Since you write ghost stories, of course, we are going to have a ghostly-like theme for our paranormal section now. First and foremost, have you ever had any experience with ghosts?
Personally, no, I really never have. I've always wanted to, and I have friends that have told me stories that I truly believe.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who, her mother-in-law died, and about, I guess it was less than a month afterwards, she came in and said that her six-year-old daughter was out in the yard and came in, and she asked her what she was doing, and she said she was out in the yard talking with Grandma that she had come to visit and said she had to leave.
Oh.
And, you know, she would absolutely swore up and down that Grandma was out there talking to her. So I do believe that that sort of thing happens. I think that there are all kinds of things that can happen, and mm-hmm. I believe that, but I've not had that experience. And I've been around a lot of people as they were dying, and you try to ease them into that. Of course, I work in an environment where we're trying to stop them. You know, an ER is usually a sudden traumatic death, and we're not the ones that want to let them go. We're trying to fight for them to continue. But I've really not had that experience, and I think it would be amazing.
Have you had any kind of paranormal experience, not just the ghosts?
Well, I have very boring paranormal experiences. I'll dream, and I'll have just the most ordinary dream where I'm sitting at lunch with somebody having coffee that I don't know, and then 6 months, a year later, I'll realize that this is the dream I had, that, you know, I'm having coffee with somebody else that I've never met before and chit-chatting with them, and that I had that dream. So very boring kind of dream, and it's hard
boring.
To put your
I'm
finger
like,
on.
That's cool. What are you talking about?
But
hello, people who hand out the powers. Hello, I'll take boring dreams if she doesn't want them. I could just say, Michelle, we've already had this conversation in my dream. Can you just stop now? Jeez.
The coffee's usually better in person than in the dream, though.
I don't think I'd wake up. I mean, coffee, good conversation, throw in some sexy men. I'm, like, all about staying there.
Yeah. There you go.
What I had to
Mandy's
slip that in.
Dream just turned into something completely different.
And when I talk about boring, is it gorgeous men I'm having the meal with and drinking coffee with? No, it's just, you know, somebody plain just like me, somebody nice and friendly, but not these gorgeous hunk of men that, you know, you dream about meeting and suddenly having a coffee and a meal and falling madly in love with. No.
But when you
retell
the story here on Raven Radio, he was 6'4", tall, dark, handsome, broad shoulders.
Yeah, this is a writer's prerogative here. We can do whatever we want.
Exactly.
We're paid to make
things
up. Come on.
It was a marble mocha macchiato from Starbucks. They need to put them back on
there
the menu.
There was oil and loincloths and never-ending coffee cups.
And he suddenly appeared in front of me and fell madly in love. Yeah, that's my story
no,
that
no,
I want to
no,
write.
No love, no commitment. Just
that's
coffee.
True. That's true.
Okay, now we've got to get to some of these stories that we've pulled up to talk about. And if you can hang out with us, that'd be great.
Sure.
Let's see. Man sells ghost in a bottle. Okay, this story, we're going to go ahead and put the direct link up to it so you can find it on Raven Blog. So that's ravenhappyhour.com/Raven Blog. And
we'll have those up after the show.
Yeah, we'll have them up after the show. So here's a little story that's coming out of Orlando, Florida. Okay? The one thing you don't want to hear when you buy a ghost in a bottle, or one thing you don't want to do when you buy a ghost in a bottle, if only I could read, is open it, says a Florida man who makes the novelties with the help of ghost catchers. That would let the ghost back out, said John Deese, who vows that, I can't read aloud, I swear to God, people, yes, I write books, can't read aloud, that his team finds ghosts in haunted establishments, cars, hotels, maybe even graveyards. The St. Augustine, Florida man told WKMG-TV of Orlando, Florida, they then stuff the captured spirits into bottles, which he sells on the Internet. The first
okay,
ghost...
I want to know how they get, convince the ghost to go in.
Okay, hold on a minute. I'm not done with the story yet. The first
anybody
ghost
else thinking
caught...
of Bloody Nicky and the flask? I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
Yeah, I was just going to wait until you're done, Michelle, if you're finished. Okay.
Shutting
all
up now.
Rude people to the left of the room. Okay. You're going to stand over there with
Audie
the invisible
here.
Ghost in a bottle, okay?
I'll join you, Michelle.
Yay!
Damn it. Okay, the first ghost was caught in a farmhouse in Decatur County, Georgia, he said. Ask how a ghost is bottled. See, if you would have just held on a moment, you would have found out. Okay? Deese told the station, well, if you went to KFC, you wouldn't ask for their secret recipe.
So he didn't answer the question.
Well, you wouldn't know that because you didn't wait. It was a premature jumping in with a question.
Premature interruption
yes.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they are displayed prominently with a warning label that says open at your own risk. Yes.
So who do you sue when you get ghost all over you?
I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's
sure.
why they have the warning labels.
Yeah.
Well,
now,
yeah, you know, but McDonald's had those labels, too, and it didn't do any good. You know, I think
true,
that.
Yeah. Very true. Michelle, there's a Ziploc bag coming your way. Guess what I put in it?
So do they have, like, ghost varieties, like your poltergeist or your moaning, you know, Mona type thing?
Yeah,
or?
You know, I would like a tall female blonde ghost, or I'd like a short, you know. You should be able to narrow it. I'd like a see-through spectrum. Thank you.
Something there you go.
Yeah, I'm still kind of curious on how they would get the ghost in. I'm still
That's
envisioning
true.
Kind of a magic flask, little Nikki type of thing going on.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm one of those people who still wonders how the hell they get the ship in the bottle, so I'm never going to figure out the ghost one. So. Oh, man.
They use the same magician that does the ship that, you know, to do the ghost. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
I
think we should try
it.
This, Mandy.
We should.
We're going to go ghost hunting sometime. We're going to take some we're going to buy some little bottles.
Well, no, we have to be eco-friendly.
I'll drink the pop before we get there, so we'll be fine. And we'll just go there and be like, come on, you know you want to. It's peer pressure. It's a lot of fun, I promise. Get
put
in.
Like a little ghost treat inside. To get, come on, ghost, come on.
I wonder what a little extra ectoplasm or...
Rubbing around the outer area.
Wait a minute.
You know you went in. Only on Raven Radio
could away from
take
us.
It there. Rihanna is now covering her ears and running in the other direction. She's like, I've had enough of you, gal. Sorry.
So, Rihanna, would you buy a ghost in a bottle?
Depends on how much it costs.
I think they're like, aren't they like $25 or something? I don't know, but I thought it was something like that.
They would have to have a really good description on that bottle for me to, a really good, you know, erotica description on it for me to buy that bottle.
Buy one, get a free EVP. I don't know.
Well, or it needs to be a really beautiful bottle, you know, that I can display. It would be a wonderful, you know, conversational piece, but it would have to be a lovely bottle that I would want to display, I think.
Question.
You know, it's all in the merchandising. What can I tell you?
So if ghosts can pass through anything.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually. It's like, how are they staying in the glass?
Perhaps it is treated with something, like dunked in holy water. You know, it's been submerged in holy water before we magically sucked them into it. I don't know. We reversed the shop vac. All was fixed. I'm curious.
It would have to be some crystal, some sort of lead crystal type thing for it to stay in there. Some good story behind it, yeah.
Anybody looking to get Mandy a gift, and I'm saying Mandy, buy her a ghost in the bottle, send it to her P.O. box. I'm several states away, so she's free to open that thing, and we will report live what happened.
Are you kidding? My Nana would be full of ghosts in a bottle. I'd be like, and look it, and this one is supposedly a ghost from, like, Georgia. Over here you'll find, you know, North Dakota. I mean, I have the whole thing, and I have it out in the
Oh, well, then you could collect all 50 states.
That would be fun, like the quarters.
Yes, you could. I mean, that's a, oh, man, it would be impressive, you know.
It's the gift that could keep giving for eternity. I like
it. But then you would have to be worried that you've trapped this ghost here forever, and now you are a deity to that ghost because you're keeping them there and not allowing them to move on.
Bottled minions. I could deal
with that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could. Bad little ghost shouldn't have fell for the bottle routine.
You know, I just had this vision of somebody handing you Pandora's box and how horrible that would be.
Hope, get the hell out of the box.
Christmas!
And I would be looking at it going, oh, do I like that box or not?
Does it work here? Is it very, you know, fitting with the scene?
Exactly.
No.
Will it go with my feng shui, please?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if my room screams all evil.
There be Michelle. I left the box over here somewhere.
I know. It's in one of my piles. Don't touch anything.
Call me.
Exactly.
Mandy, have you seen the box? I think, no. Click. Shutting it. I haven't seen it. Oh, yes. Life with us is never dull. Oh, my goodness. Okay, there's another story that's coming out on the, you know, difference in Fox News. Okay, I love Fox News, so that's why I've got this. Teen's accident on a photo shows eerie ghost-like hand on a banister. apparently this 14-year-old kid was in a castle in Scotland, the Highlands up there,
mm-hmm.
and in this apparition was, like, snapped by accident. And it's a misty hand holding a railing with a cloudy shape coming off of it. And we're also going to put the links up after the show. So, like, his dad and his kid are totally convinced this is what it is. So I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking maybe in Scotland it could be, you know. I'm thinking there's more likelihood it's going to be at a castle in Scotland than the local Mickey D's.
Well, I just want to know, I mean, do you get to see the rest of it? Are they in kilts? Am I going to get to see some hot Highlander?
You know, unfortunately, there is no flashing of high thigh. It's more like mist.
Just a misty hand.
Uncarpeting. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I could see that happening. I don't know that I would be impressed with that. Now, the thigh and the kilt and the hot Highlander, I would be very impressed with.
We've really, like, high rank. We're like, you know, come on. To impress this ghost, you're really going to have to work harder at this, okay?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the picture right now, and we'll put this picture link up on the site, like
right.
you said after.
Right.
But you can see the hand.
Yeah, you can kind of, like,
I'm
make out.
I'm not saying you can't Photoshop that.
Right.
I could, and I'm not that great.
And see, this is the problem with the day and age now, is everything that you see, you instantly want to, like, dismiss, which is good for the skeptical thing, but it also takes away from that mystique of it all, you know, so it does kind of suck the joy out. I want to go back to the days when I fully believed everything I was told. I think I was, like, 3 or 4 at the time, but still.
Our kids are very jaded now, aren't they?
Oh, totally.
It's very hard to keep any kind of, Santa-type story with them because all they have to do is go online or turn on the TV and they know the truth.
Right.
Very hard.
Well, I think we've discussed that on past shows, too, just kind of how, you know, a lot of the world's lost its superstitions and its mystery. And I think some things have actually been over-explained by science.
Yeah.
To the point that we believe in nothing magical or spirit, you know, well, I'm not going to say spiritual. That's a religious discussion I won't get into. But, you know, magical and mystical and...
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe that's why, you know, paranormal romance does so well, and paranormal, you know, in general as a book thing does so well because people like to escape. They like that, you know, ability to just let go and believe finally in what someone's telling them to believe in, you know. I think it does. I think it works for people.
Well, and I think that people, you know, reality many days sucks big time.
Reality.
You turn on the TV and it's just one tragedy after another.
Mm-hmm.
And people, a lot of people live a life that is very sad and sickness and horrible things happening. And all they have to do is open a book and enter those pages and be in a completely different reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an escape, and it gets a lot of people through the day just to be able to escape the real life that they're living. So,
I would love to have some time. The readers email in and let us know what it is specifically about paranormals, you know, that does it for you, that kind of, like, you know, excites you and you can't wait to, you know, sink your teeth into the next one. It doesn't matter if it's erotic ones, if it's not, it's just any kind of paranormal. I'm curious about it, because then we'll ask for other genres, too, and get the take and the difference on it and let everybody know what turns out with it. So, but
I'm a fan, and I noticed that somebody was talking about Torchwood, and you girls did not seem to know a whole lot about it. So I have to tell you that I'm another huge fan of that show. Have you?
Yes, because... I watched the Doctor Who, and then I, you know, the Jack characters in that, and then they spun that off. So then I watched the first season of Torchwood then, although I didn't like fall in love with it instantly. I am trying to make it grow on me.
Well, you have to watch the first episode of the second season. Did you see it where James Marsden Spike is on it?
No.
Oh, it's hysterical. It's very funny. I just find it to be very funny and very good scripts. Very good acting in some of these. So I'm a very big fan. But then I've been watching Doctor Who for 25 years the old BBC shows, and just a huge fan of that and love it because it's so campy. It's like it's like the sci-fi Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know. It's just so outlandishly camp, but so funny and sort of a wink the whole time that it's going on, but very, very good.
Now, speaking of campy, I've got to use that to segue into our next thing and our final wrap-up here. One, next week we have Lauren Dane coming on, author Lauren Dane, which we're really excited about. And we also have something else going on. We made slight mention of this last week, and it has taken off already. The pink jelly shoes with heels. They were purchased, people.
The flip-flops.
The flip-flops. These suckers are so just gaudy ridiculous that the words cannot describe.
Well, I posted
Anyways,
them up on the blog today, so they'll be able to see what they look like.
We got them, and they have already begun to make their journey. They have had the cable company here in my neck of the woods. A anchor woman was downtown filming something, and I happened to Shanghai her with this, and she very, very lovingly put them on and modeled them for us, for Raven Rainey.
That's great.
So we've got some snapshots of her. We have got some of them making their rounds around town. They were here set up in my stuff. They're heading out to see Michelle this week.
And they're heading out from me to other places. I'm going to take them around, of course, and show them a good time.
Right, right.
But these shoes are traveling around, and readers and listeners actually have a chance to get in on it. And if they want to have the shoes sent to them where they can take a picture with them or have them doing something,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to see how many places these beautiful
right.
Pretty princess shoes.
Yeah.
And get to.
That's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I can't believe these things are as ugly as they are. Really.
I just can't believe they exist.
I know. I mean, and somebody out there thought they were a good idea.
But you know, every 8-year-old out there now wants a pair of those. I mean,
if they're
gaudy and pink, my heavens.
I don't know how they can actually be worn for anything. I mean, a jelly shoe in itself is interesting.
Well, in all fairness, they were in the discount bin.
They were in the deep discount bin.
We spared no expense getting these things for people.
Yeah. Me, I wonder why.
We have a very high budget. The old Bergs are us. That's us.
But you're going to bring them back into fashion here, and then they're going to have to make more of these. And then we have to blame it on you.
Oh, next up is leg warmers.
We will blame
Everybody's
it on Mandy. She's the first spotted them.
Leg warmers, oh my. That's great.
Oh my gosh. Well, a big thank you to you, Rana, for joining us this week and for talking about shaking off the... Did I say it right this time? Shaking... I'm starting
shaking
to
off the dust.
Oh, yes.
Shaking off the dust.
Shaking off the dust. One more time. Shaking off the dust.
The dust.
That was Sam Hain Publishing.
Yes.
And everyone who's listening right now, you can find a link directly to Amazon to purchase it if you want. It's up on the Black Duck Radio site. And definitely give it a try. And she's got what coming out, hopefully, here?
Hopefully I have a novella I'm working on that I'm hoping to have ready pretty soon. So we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you for coming.
Bye.
And thank you all for joining us. It was great to have you here, and we will see you next week on our new night schedule.
Yes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.